Today, I want to share a story that I read recently from the National Foundation of Infectious Diseases. It is a story that is told by a nurse named Kate, who works at a homeless shelter. Here's what she wrote. It was a good thing that it was my shift that night. I'm sweaty and grumpy, in full PPE, gown and mask, face shield, gloves, for the past 5 hours. Every time I exhale, my glasses and face shield fog up. I just taste stale air from breathing in and out through my mask. I get a call. The getting a call is usual, as shelter gets calls all the time for new admissions, for people who are experiencing homelessness, who are positive for COVID-19 and need a safe place to recover. But the content of the call was unusual. A new mom and her 2-week-old baby with COVID-19 are on their way to the shelter. We've not had children come yet, let alone an infant. We mostly have men, and most of them have been on the streets or in the shelter system for a long time. What am I going to do with a baby? My NFP training, that is National Family Partnership, a home visiting program for new parents and babies, my NFP training kicks in, and I start to go through a physical checklist of what we'll need and how to get ready for it. A pack and play, for sure. Some clothes and blankets and diapers. Is she breastfeeding? Better have some formula in case. Haul a cot into a room that is set aside from the men's area. Oh God, she just had a baby 2 weeks ago. How can I make this more comfortable for her? She'll need towels and toiletries. Let me get some snacks together too. Chocolate, she's gonna need lots of chocolate. I think we're ready, or as ready as we can be in these circumstances. Man, I'm hot and sweaty now. These plastic gowns are so hot. I greet her and the baby at the taxi, help carry the car seat and the diaper bag and get them settled in their room. Then I listen to their story. A C-section, discharged home, fight with the baby's father, leave to go stay with an aunt. The baby is running 105-degree fever. Take her to the ER. She has COVID-19. Where did she get it? Stay at the hospital for 3 days. Aunt won't take them back when it's time to leave. Can't go back to the baby of the father either. A story of suffering. A story of darkness. There's a lot of those stories going around right now. Today, I want to talk about darkness, and I want to talk about light. The light that the writer of John says is the light of all people, the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. Will you join me in prayer? Loving and gracious God, we give you our thanks this day for the light that breaks through darkness. And we pray, oh God, as we hear these words of Scripture and then we meditate upon them together, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts might be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, oh God. Open to us this day your living word. Amen. Last week, Pastor Diana began our New Year's sermon series entitled Light with Genesis chapter 1, a poetic declaration of who God is, what God does, and how God sees. In that passage, we learn that God is creator of all things, who brings order out of chaos, who declares light in the midst of darkness, and who in the midst of chaos and darkness calls all things that God creates good. It is important to remember, as Pastor Diana said, that these words were likely written during the period of exile, a time of great darkness in the lives of God's people, Israel, to remind them that no matter what, God was with them, and even in the midst of their darkness, their chaos, God was still at work, still speaking, still creating, still redeeming. Fast forward 600 to 700 years later, near the end of the first century of the Common Era. Decades have passed since Jesus was crucified, raised from the dead, and ascended into heaven. It was decades since that day of Pentecost with the coming of the Holy Spirit and the great missionary movement of the apostles that followed. It had been quite some time since the destruction of the temple in the year 70 CE by the Romans. And the persecution had expanded to this fledgling movement called Ecclesia, the ones called out to follow the way, the Church of Jesus the Christ. That persecution included torture and death for those who refused to recant their faith in Jesus over Caesar as Lord of their lives. Many were shunned by their own families and scorned by their communities. And once again, at a time of great darkness for God's people, a time for chaos, a poetic declaration describing the meaning and the truth of faith in God through Jesus is revealed in John's Gospel, chapter 1. A poetic declaration that starts with the very same words we heard last week from Genesis. In the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to being through Him, and without Him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Beautiful words, words pregnant with life and light and comfort and hope for people who needed to know that God was with them in the midst of dark and challenging times, still at work, still creating, still speaking, still redeeming. Yet we cannot read these words in isolation. For what we find in the opening verses of John's Gospel is actually heartbreaking. Look with me again at verse 10. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. Now, how can this be? How can it be that something as wonderful as life and light, something as powerful and transforming as love and grace and acceptance of God, be something that the world would reject? How could it be that Jesus' own would not accept the gift that he came to offer them? Well, it might have something to do with light. You see, light has many functions. It does many things. Light can be a thing of beauty as we look up into the heavens and we see the sun and the moon and the stars, and we are reminded of the marvel of the mysterious glory of God. Light can bring us warmth and comfort and even hope. Yes, light may shatter the darkness, but let us also remember another function of light. Light reveals and uncovers what is hidden in the dark. And that can be incredibly uncomfortable, even painful. Dr. Fred Craddock, in his commentary on the Gospel of John, writes, "Why do some of us want to live in such darkness? We deceive ourselves if we only think of primitive people in the dark and remote areas of the world without digital devices or microwave ovens. We deceive ourselves if we think only of those people along the dark alleyways of our cities. It is also darkness to refuse to hear the truth and to tolerate no teacher or preacher or politician who tells it. It is to avoid certain sections of town so as not to be disturbed by the conditions in which some have to live. It is to avoid any book or speaker who shatters my illusions of innocence in this evil world. It is not to ask questions at work, at home, or at church because I prefer to let sleeping dogs lie. It is to persuade myself that problems in schools and in my neighborhood and society at large are really none of my business. This is the crisis of the world, says the Gospel of John. Light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light. And that was not only true for God's people living in the late first century. Fast forward 2,000 years, where we are witnessing the chaos and darkness of our time. Not only is it a time when we are being faced with the darkness of outside forces like a global pandemic or natural disasters, but a time when we are facing internal forces of darkness, as we label each other with dehumanizing conviction, as we're concerned with our own rights rather than for those valuing those who have value and worth in God's sight. A time when we hunker down in whatever silos we have decided to settle ourselves in, closing our hearts, filling them with hate, loving darkness rather than light. And in so doing, we are refusing to engage in the way, the truth, and the life that the light of the world has come to offer us. Not just any light, but the light of one who brings grace and truth. He reveals the truth of who we are and who we are not. He reveals a love that refuses to ignore our self-centered lusts and stubborn pride. And we are confronted with a choice of whether we will open our eyes and see what that light of love shows us or not. And yes, some of us will refuse to open our eyes because that light might just show us something about ourselves that is painful for us to see. But let us remember that the light of the world also shines forth grace of God, who gives us life and rebirth. He shows us the way forward so that you and I can experience God's intention of what it means for us to live life abundant. His truth is a light that exposes and reveals and calls us to repentance. His grace is a light that renews as well as reveals, that exposes and yet also forgives. The light is more than a candle in the night. The light of the world is Jesus, our Savior, who calls us to call him Lord. And this light shines on you and me today, a light that comforts the afflicted for sure, but also a light that afflicts the comfortable. Those of us who think we've got it all together, those of us who are convinced that we are on the right side of this crazy world in which we live. For you see, God is still at work, still speaking, still creating, still redeeming. Why? Because God so loves this world. God so loves this dark, chaotic world that the light of the world came, and he comes again to us today to reveal and to show us the way. All of us stand in need of seeing the truth exposed and revealed through the light that pierces the dark places of every one of our lives. And all of us are in need of the grace and new life that is offered through the light of his unwavering, reckless, unending love. These words from John chapter 1 are as true today as they were when they were written over 2,000 years ago. To borrow Nurse Kate's words from our opening story as a metaphor, it is now our shift in this night, this dark time. And the question for you and me is this: is that a good thing? Is it really a good thing that it is my shift, that it is your shift on this dark night? I want to suggest that we think about that by considering how Nurse Kate concludes her story. She writes, "So now she's here, and I just want to gather her in my arms, but I can't because of the virus. Instead, I listen and reflect. Praise her grace and strength. Tell her she's a good mama for taking care of her baby and doing what she needed to do despite the challenging circumstances." Brothers and sisters, followers of the way of Jesus, we have been called today to hear God's word for us. We are called to listen and reflect and to look squarely at what the light reveals. If we will receive the light, you and I have a promise from our text today. John writes, "To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but the will of God." May it be so. May you and I receive the light. And after God shows to us what that light reveals, to allow Jesus to lead us forth to the way that leads forward to love and life in his name. And the people of God said, amen and amen.